Chapter 70. I met Stan Lowry on my way off the post, my old friend. He was locking his car just as I was unlocking the Buick. I said, "Goodbye, old pal," he said. "Well, that sounds final. You may never see me again." "Why, are you in trouble?" "Me?" I said. "No, I'm fine. But I heard your job is vulnerable. You might be gone when I get back." He just shook his head and smiled and walked on. The Buick was an old lady's car. If my grandfather had had a sister, she would have been my great aunt, and she would have driven a Buick Park Avenue, but she would have driven it slower than me. The thing was as soft as a marshmallow and twice as buttery inside, but it had a big motor and government plates, so it was useful on the highway. And I got on the highway as soon as I could, on I-65 to be precise, heading south, down the eastern edge of a notional corridor, not down the western edge through Memphis. I would be approaching from a side I had never seen before, but it was a straighter shot, and therefore faster. 5 hours, I figured, maybe 5 and a half. I would be in Carter Crossing by 10:30 at the latest. I went south all the way through Kentucky in the last of the daylight, and then it got dark pretty quickly as I drove through Tennessee. I hunted around for a mile and found the switch and turned on my headlights. The broad road took me through the bright neon of Nashville, fast and above the fray, and then it took me onward through open country where it was dark and lonely again. I drove like I was hypnotized, automatically, not thinking anything, not noticing anything, surprised every time I came to by the 100-mile bites I had been taking out of the journey. I crossed the line into Alabama and stopped at the second place I saw for gas and a map. I knew I would need to head west off an early Alabama exit, and I needed a map with local details to show me where. Not the kind of large-scale plan you can buy ahead of time. The sheet I bought unfolded neatly and showed me every farm tract in the state, but it showed me nothing more than that. Mississippi was just a blank white space on the edge of the paper. I narrowed down my target area and found a choice of 4 east-west routes. Any one of them might have been the road that led onward past Kellum's Gate to Carter Crossing, or none of them might. There could have been all kinds of dogleg turns waiting for me on the other side of the line, a regular maze, no way of knowing. Except that Kellum had been built in the 1950s, which was still a time of big wars and mass mobilizations, and DOD planners have always been a cautious bunch. They didn't want some reservist convoy from New Jersey or Nebraska getting lost in unfamiliar parts. So they put discreet and coded signs here and there, marking the way to and from every major installation in the nation. Their efforts intensified after the interstate system was begun. The interstate system was formally named for President Eisenhower, for a very good reason. Eisenhower had been Supreme Allied Commander in Europe during World War II, and his biggest problem had not been Germans. It had been getting men and materiel from point A to point B across lousy and unmarked roads. He was determined his successors should not face similar problems should land war ever come to America. Hence, the interstate system. Not for vacations, not for commerce, for war. And hence, the signs. And if those signs had not been shot up or trashed or stolen by the locals, I could use them like homing beacons. I found the first of the signs at the next exit I came to. I came off the ramp and struck out west on a concrete ribbon lined here and there with low-rent malls and auto dealers. After a time, the commercial enterprises died back, and the road reverted to what I guessed it had been before, which was a meandering rural route through what looked like pretty country. There were trees and fields and the occasional lake. There were summer camps and vacation villages and the occasional inn. There was a bright moon high in the sky, and it was all very picturesque. I drove on, but saw no more DOD signs until I was in Mississippi, and only one more after that. But it was a bold and confident arrow pointing straight ahead, with the number 17 embedded in the code below it, indicating just 17 more miles to go. The clock in my head said 5 past 10. If I hustled, I would arrive ahead of schedule.